Everybody, Bay Ragney here, and you're listening to the Rock and Ragney Show. And I just sat down and had a really cool discussion with modern-day guitar god himself, the one and only Gus G. And we talked about his time with Ozzy Osbourne. We talked about Sharon Osbourne, Zakk Wylde, also Michael Sweet Stryper. And we talked all about the new Firewind album. Plus, we also talked about the Firewind cover of the Flashdance movie song, Maniac. So, sit down, relax, and get ready to hear Gus G talk about all this and a little more.
Good, yeah. Just, I'm about to lose my voice here. I've been doing so many interviews.
Well, I guess this was kind of like, I guess, the perfect time for quarantine and coronavirus to hit, that you're releasing an album and you can just relax and do interviews now.
You know, it is really good. I mean, this is a good timing. You know, I can kill time at home and do a lot of press, and don't have to worry, you know, doing that in the midst of preparing for a world tour and running around like crazy. So it's good. I'm enjoying actually talking to people, because, yeah, that's also another thing. You know, you keep in touch and, you know, talking to people in different countries and see how's everybody dealing with everything too.
Yeah, it's you know, it is. It's so weird. Like, you know, I was just talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and I was saying, like, I never, ever expected anything like this ever to happen in our lifetime. And he was like, you know what? 20 years ago, I was, like, bugged out, and I was thinking this would happen. He's like, but I didn't think it would, like, all these years later now.
Yeah. I honestly also didn't think it would ever happen. You know, it's like all these conspiracy theories, or, like, all these, oh, yeah, one day Armageddon will happen. One day the aliens are going to land, or one day, you know, there's going to be a biological war and we're all going to die. But, you know, people, you can say that, but you're not really believing it until it actually happens. You know, like, this is crazy. Like, yeah. Like, this is a, who would have thought? And it's like, I was talking to a cousin of mine the other day, and we thought, well, you know, back in, I don't know, maybe 1908 or whatever, when the plague was, or
sure,
you can say, like, okay, science hadn't evolved so much, or there was not enough, you know, they hadn't invented that many vaccines or drugs for things, you know. But now in 2020, I mean,
right.
And you have to think also how many other viruses and diseases there are they still haven't discovered what it is and what the cure for is. So
it's scary.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's we have to accept the reality that we don't have everything under control. We do not know everything. It's not as advanced sometimes as we think it is, you know?
And the thing I keep saying to friends and family and all is, like, you know, these changes that they're putting in place now with this whole social distancing and, you know, changes at supermarkets and stuff like that. And you know, with what is going to be the new norm in the future, and especially, like, relate that to, like, concerts. Like, what's going to be the new norm for concert going in the future now? I mean, how drastic are the changes truly going to be?
That's a good question, actually, right there, because nobody really can predict right now. You can only speculate. You can think that, oh, maybe concerts will never be the same again. Maybe we'll start again with small gatherings to, you know, it will be like punk rock shows again for like 100 people maximum. Or, you know, in a year from now, as we speak now, there's a vaccine and this was just another virus, and then everything goes back to normal. And if you get it, you know, if it's season for the fucking coronavirus, you get your, you know, you get your antibiotics or you get your shot to the doctor and you're done, you know?
Right.
You never know. I'm guessing it will affect everything within, you know, the next couple of years of how we live, but at some point it will go back, I think, to what it was, hopefully with a lesson learned for humanity, because humans don't really, history has proven humans don't learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's what I was saying to my friend yesterday. I said, this is going to show you, like, the smart people who learn from this, and it's going to truly show you the stupid people that are just stupid and don't learn.
Yeah. So let's see. I mean, all we can do is right now, I think, in my opinion, is that, you know, we should do our part and just basically wait and see how this plays out. And just do our part, just do what we're told.
Right. So, you know, first off, I got it, like, as the huge music fan in me, the guitar player in me, you know, I got to talk to you about the Ozzy gig that you had. Like, you know, the thing growing up for me, like, I'm actually, like, 10 years older than you. So, like, the thing growing up for me was a huge Randy Rhoads fan and then Jake Ely. And I always thought to myself, like, the guitar players that ended up playing with Ozzy always seemed to be like that, you know, those guitar gods that you looked up to as a guitar player. So, like, you know, as you as a kid growing up, being a fan of Sabbath and Ozzy, and then mm-hmm. you get to play with him. Like, like you're sharing a stage with a guy, and I was just watching a video of you, and you're playing some, like, Sabbath rips. You're like, you know, you have to, it's, like, almost mandatory to listen to Sabbath as you're growing up to learn guitar and metal. And then
it is.
You're sharing a stage with the guy that wrote those songs. I mean, does it kind of, like, freak you out when you look over on the side of the stage and you're like, there's the guy singing Iron Man?
Yep. It always did. It was always like a pinch me moment. I was like, wow, they're right there. Is really, it's Ozzy. It's not some guy from some band, you know, like it's, it really is Ozzy Osbourne. And we are really playing Fairies Wear Boots. What the hell? yeah. I mean, what can I say? It's just been mind blowing, you know, the experience. And it's just the fact, you know, like reflecting back and looking back, like that whole thing happened. It was like, yeah. Wow. It's, what can I say? It was just a blessing, you know, like, you know, especially growing up and into this and loving this music so much. And yeah, what can I say? It's yeah, it's like, it's hard to put into words how awesome it was. and of course, you know, the I'm proud of it. I'm, you know, I'm also, it was such a, you know, such an honor. It's such a, it's just been such a ride, you know, like right. It changed my life forever, without a doubt. Yeah.
Was that a thing though, like where when you, once you got the gig, did it truly change almost immediately? Like, you know, true hardcore metal fans and guitar players, you know Gush G as this amazing guitarist, but then you get the Ozzy gig and it like opens the door to the more common fans. So did it kind of change things for you, like almost overnight when you got the gig?
Well, I mean, it's not like overnight fame. It took a while for people to realize, but it did put me in front of a lot more people, for sure. A lot more people found out about me. Yeah. But you know, like with anything, you have to work for it. You know, it's not just because, okay, they put you in a cover of a magazine and they say, okay, this is the guy, that doesn't mean that everybody has to buy that, you know?
Right.
So you still have to prove, you still have to prove yourself out there, and you have to do a good job at the gigs. And to me also, if you ask me, I think it's also even more important after that, because you get to do that and you know there's an expiration date with that. You know, he's a solo artist and he can play with anybody at any given time. So if you want to cement your reputation and what, you know, your work and all that stuff, and you want it to mean something, you also have to put in extra work, that, you know, in the after event of whatever it is you're doing after leaving such a gig, you know?
Right.
So, you know, to me, like what I'm doing is also like as important, of course, right now. Sure, it's not like maybe getting the attention of, you know, putting out an Ozzy record or something. Yeah, that's for sure. But that's sort of like, it builds your sort of music. It's part of your musical legacy and your how you, and part of your you know, the career that you're trying to build. And and it's important. It was important for me to, you know, after all that thing was done, to continue doing my thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you hope along that way, you hope during that time, you took some fans with you along the way that would sort of hopefully support you and follow you. Yeah.
Now, are you friends with Zach at all? Like, did you know Zach before and after this whole situation? Or
I didn't know him personally before. I met him during the Ozzy and Friends tour that we did, because he was a part of it as well.
Okay.
And yeah, we became buddies, and he was always very supportive, always had nice things to say, and we got along great. And I mean, you have to also think, for me, because I was, you know, he was one of my heroes too growing up, you know, loving Ozzy and the stuff he did with him. So it was just also another like pinch me moment. I'm like, fuck, I'm here hanging out with Zach Weil, and he actually, you know, he approves of this, and he thinks it's, you know, I did good, and you know, he was supportive, and so it was nice, you know.
Now, does Zach, whenever he might have to talk about you, does he kind of refer to you like, you know, everybody's either like a Saint Randy or somebody like that? So are you like a Saint Gus or an Apostle Gus or something like that?
No, I'm Father Gus. Father Gus. We're all priests, I guess, or something. Yeah, the priests of heavy metal.
Now, the one thing I wondered about the situation, were you intimidated by Sharon at all?
No, not at all, because she was always very nice to me. And you know, she was very straightforward about what they wanted and stuff. And she was very polite. And they always made me feel very, very comfortable, you know, whenever I went up to the house and whenever, you know, and because I spent a lot of time in their house when we were recording Scream.
Okay.
Because he had the studio downstairs. So I recorded all the guitars there. So they were always very nice, both of them. And Sharon, of course, and, you know. And she took me, you know, we went out to a couple of times, we went to dinners, you know, just to kind of like get in the climate of what, you know, how she was thinking of things and what they wanted and stuff. But they also wanted me to feel comfortable. So not like the reputation that she has at all about people that she's so evil or something. I mean, I think she's a great businesswoman, and, you know, she has done amazing things for Ozzy's career. A lot of groundbreaking ideas that she's had that gave a lot of new platforms to the music that we like. You have to think, you know, nobody ever gave respect to Sharon for coming up with Ozfest, the first traveling heavy metal festival in sure. America, you know?
That's right.
So, you know, she's had brilliant ideas. And anyway, so yeah, to me, she was always, she's always been very nice. Nice. And they were nice, you know, even when we toured and we came to Greece, you know, they met my parents and everything. Oh, cool. And they were just very nice people, you know, very nice family.
Very nice. So yeah. One other off subject of Firewind I got to ask you about, too. Somebody who's done my show many times over the years and became friends with, and you actually played on his latest solo album, Michael Sweet of Striper. How'd you end up hooking up with Michael?
Michael, we actually met I think it was 2017 at the Grove in Anaheim, and there was this Metal Allegiance show.
Okay.
And I was opening with my solo band. I was opening up the set. It was me and Marty Friedman, and then it was like a Jackson sponsored event, you know. So I got on the bill. Also, we were really, you know, to celebrate the new guitars that I was releasing. Blah blah blah. Anyway, so I played my set, and then backstage it was a lot of people. Anyways, coming and going. You know, it was like a typical LA show, you know? So, but, anyway, so Michael Sweet is like back there, and he's like, I see him, and he comes up to me like, dude, like, fuck, I love this. I love your set, and you're such a great player, blah, blah, blah. And, so, you know, he was really into it, and he, you know, we exchanged numbers and like, yeah, let's keep in touch. Maybe we do something someday. You know, I was like, yeah, I would love to, man. Yeah. He's a great singer. And, anyways, yeah, we kept in touch a little bit, and then at some point he emailed me and asked me about this solo thing, the solo part he wanted, and of course, yeah.
Wow. So that's awesome.
It was very, very, very easy, you know. So he just sent me the track, and I did it in my home studio. I sent it back to him, and there you have it. And it's a really good record, you know.
Yeah.
So the last solo record he did.
That's awesome. Cool. So, all right. So the new album, the new Firewind album, comes out actually next month in May. Now you're just calling this one Firewind. Why just self-title it?
Well, it was like it made sense to do it now because we underwent such major lineup changes, and it was time for me to sort of revisit and reapproach the whole thing and sort of push the reset button. So I thought this is the perfect timing to do it. I mean, we never had a self-titled album. Usually bands do it in the debut album, but we didn't do it. so since, you know, for us it's like a rebirth, so to speak, and like a new beginning, I thought this is the time. And I also, not only because of that, but also I think musically speaking, I think it also, this album more than ever really has it sort of represents what Firewind has been about throughout all our eras. So it has, like, you'll hear elements from all of our past albums in there. So I thought it was was a good mix, you know, like all the elements that make up Firewind, what it is, you know, the melodies, the guitar playing, you know, the heavy stuff. So yeah, it's all there.
Now you mentioned about the member changes, and you've gone through a lot of member changes over the years. Has that been any like discouraging at times? Or did you think, like, I know you did the two solo albums. Did you think at times like maybe you're just going to scrap the idea and just stick doing solo albums? Or
yeah, that did cross my mind actually a couple of times. And you know, I got into this sort of crossroads again this past December because I knew things were not really going within the band. You know, it wasn't. I knew there was changes coming up that were going to be inevitable. So I, you know, it did cross my mind to put it to rest and just keep on doing solo records. And at the same time, you know, it's Firewind is a band that I've had since I was 18 years old, and it's a brand that I, you know, we've worked hard. I worked really hard to build it up.
Sure.
And there's a, you know, there's a small history there, and you know, we've been blessed that we've had. You know, we have a worldwide fan base. It's not a big or huge band or anything, but it's a band that has fans and supporters in all corners of the world. So, you know, you don't just get to leave all that, and then especially when you've built it up so hard with so much work. So I had to really do some serious thinking there, and I was like, well, am I going to give this up or? And I decided that, you know, I'm not ready to call it quits yet. I still have things to say with this band. And I thought I believed in the new album that I had in my hands. I knew that I just needed to find the right singer. And
And that's something I was wondering too, with your new singer, Herbie. I had seen like in an older interview you had said, which ended up causing you to do, I guess, your first solo album, that you couldn't find any suitable singer. So I was like, okay, so what makes Herbie a suitable singer for you?
Well, first of all, it's like for me, it's the sound, the voice. You know, like for some reason, it's like a feeling thing that I have. Like I can sense that if I hear if I hear a singer, I can instantly either hear my riffs and my music with his voice combined, or I don't hear it at all. You know, so and with Herbie, I heard it was like it was there. Right from the start, it was like, this is the guy. He first of all, he reminded me a lot of our first singer, Stephen Frederick, from the first two records. Okay. And this is a singer that I've always loved so much, and you know, well, and I was a fan of his when he did the Ken Zinner albums. So, anyways, I was like, well, this is the guy that first of all reminds me of that kind of era, which is, you know, it took me back to where I started, you know, as a kid with Firemen, and I wanted that kind of feeling again. You know, I wanted that sort of type of aggression in our music, but he was also a very melodic singer and had his own style, of course. And well, you know, we tried it out, you know, with him first. You know, we tried out how he sounds on the older material, and then I tried to write something with him. I sent him one of my songs, and the guy had really good ideas with vocal melodies. So
nice.
Yeah, it felt like, I mean, the first song we wrote was Devour, which is the okay. second track. And
so he wasn't, I mean, right in writing them with it. With you.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he wrote like lyrics and vocal lines for about 7 songs out of the 11. Yeah.
Wow. Cool. Very cool. Yeah. Now, what's like when you approach doing the Firewind album compared to your solo albums, or even I know you never got to actually write with Ozzy, but when you were writing stuff, hoping to work with Ozzy, like do you approach any of those different, or is it just you just write it and just like this would be perfect for Firewind, or if I do another solo album, this would be perfect for that.
Well, I always write stuff. That's the thing. I have this riff folder or something in my computer where I just stack riffs in there, and I just sort of revisit it a few months later, and then I see how I feel about it a bit later. So it's not all brand new ideas when I put them together for an album. It's usually stuff that's, you know, it's been laying around for a while, and then I sort of pick it up and rewrite it or add to it. So that usually helps me define what is going to end up in which project. I mean, there, for example, you know, there were a couple of songs on this record that I originally were going to make them instrumentals and destined to be in a solo record. I'm specifically talking about the opening track, Welcome to the Empire, and the song Break Away. But they were like instrumentals that were sort of half finished. You know, they had all the cool guitar work, but they were always, I felt they were missing something. So they've been laying, they were there laying in my, in that folder, the riff folder, for a couple of years.
Oh, wow.
And then it's like one of those things where I'm like, well, I think I should do the right thing here. Not if it's not coming out as a proper instrumental, maybe I should just add vocals, and then it would become a kick-ass Firewind song. And you know, that was the right decision.
That's cool. Now, you guys had the tour set up that you guys is postponed actually till 2021. Like, so is there, you think, are you going to be doing any shows at all later in the year? I mean, over in Europe or?
Hard to say. Really hard to say. I mean, I'm waiting to hear back from the agent, see if there was a talk about a European tour in the fall, but who knows, man? It's hard to predict anything right now. Yeah.
It's literally day by day, and it seems like really nobody knows, and they're changing the rules every day.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's the thing, you know, the last thing you want is like, okay, we have a tour for October, and then like in 3 months you hear that you cannot still have any shows until the end of the year. So I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah, it's just it's a crazy situation. Hopefully, like we said, hopefully the end comes soon and we can all get back to some type of normal very soon.
Yeah, let's hope so, man.
So, and one more question before I let you go. The cover you did of Maniac from Flashdance, what made you want to do that?
That was actually Bob's idea, our keyboard player. Well, he's no longer in the band, but back then he had this idea. We were in the studio. I think it was like a late night thing. We were done with everything, and I think we were going to start mixing the next morning. And back in those days, we would all like relocate to a studio in Sweden, and we would all live there for like a month and do the album, you know? I mean, those days are gone anyways, and everybody has home studios now.
Right.
But back then it was like that. And then I think sometime late at night, Bob goes, hey, how about we do a cover, like just as a bonus track? I'm like, yeah, let's do that. And he had the idea for Maniac, and then it all came like together really on the fly. You know, he just laid down a click track and a quick thing. And then I started playing guitars over it. Like immediately it was kind of like almost like a jam within the studio without really being into rehearsal. You know what I mean? So we just kind of like put it together on the spot. It became our most streamed song on Spotify. I think it's 7 million streams almost now. So.
That's crazy.
Now, yeah.
How was it? That's the one thing too. Like, it's the first time in a long time you did an album without Bob. So, I mean, less keyboards and stuff like that on the album. So how different was that for you?
Well, for me, it's like writing the music was always like, it's like business as usual. So this is how I've always done it. Like I have the music, and then usually I would send it to Bob, and then he would just send me tons of keyboards back, and then I would sort of have to sort it out and pick and choose what we use. And I always had like, whenever I had ideas for keyboard parts, I would play them and then kind of like be like, okay, maybe have this here and there. And, you know, the difference is now is that without Bob, I just use the keyboard ideas that I had. Like, so it's more like I'm using the keyboards the way that I hear them in my head, instead of having somebody like Bob who just like, you know, obviously reorchestrate everything. So, and you know, having a player like Bob, he's such a great musician. You cannot just mute the guy, you know, it's like in the mix, you know, but you know, it's different, like reimagining the songs with less keyboards or more keyboards. It can be like a song that is very riff driven. All of a sudden it depends, like if you add all these symphonic parts, it could become like an orchestral type of song, whereas you have the option of also doing it maybe a little bit more stripped down or use keyboards where needed as an enhancement.
Yeah.
And this is how I imagine keyboards. You know, once we had that discussion that Bob was going to step down, I realized, well, this is also an opportunity for me to kind of like go back to the original form. We used to be a four-piece band anyways. So,
nice.
So you know, it was a good opportunity for me to, again, like, do, you know, reimagine the sound of the band and use the keyboards that I would have liked to have. And, I mean, you know, for the live shows, we will still have Bob's keyboards, but, you know, we're going to use it on a track. So,
right. Cool. Well, Gus, this has been great talking to you, man. Stay safe over in Greece, and hope everybody stays safe and indoors. And
thank you, man.
Back to some shows as soon as
thanks. Possible. Yeah, yeah. I hope so, too.
If I can just get you to cut an ID for me before I let you go. This is Gus G, and you're listening to The Rock and Ragney Show.
Rock and Ragney Show?
Yep.
Okay. Hey everybody, this is Gus G from Firewind. You're listening to Rock and Ragney Show.
Awesome. Gus, thanks so much, man. Good luck with everything. And
thanks, brother.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, I hope so too. Take it easy.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.